So we've been in a series called Made for This. We are concluding it today, and we've been talking about or trying to answer or bring clarity to a question that we've all had, and it's this: why am I here? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? To wrestle with this question: what is the meaning of my existence? Why am I here? Why am where I am currently at? What is the purpose of my life? To wrestle with those questions is what it means to be human, right? It's not a faith question. Underlying it is some faith conversation we've been having over the course of the series, but on the surface of it, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you do or don't believe, we've all wondered, why am I here? What am I made for? It seems hardwired into us as humans to want to know the answer to that question. And when we don't know, it's unsettling. When we don't know, it's unsettling. And I think one of the chief reasons among them is because we have limited amount of time. We've got one life. We want to get it right. If there's a direction that we should go, we want to know what it is. Why? Because as humans, we're on a search far and wide for fulfillment, meaning, and significance. Hence, wanting to know, what is my purpose? And over the course of the past couple of weeks, I just want to catch everybody up before we jump into where we're going today. What we've discovered is the answer to this question is more who than what. That before anything that you do, before any role, before any responsibility, before anything that you do, you were made for a who. The answer is more who than what. And the who is Jesus. That as we've looked and we've journeyed through this book of Colossians, Colossians is just a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, which is modern day Turkey. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to encourage the believers at a church. He'd never been there. He wasn't one that planted the church, but he had a friend that did, and they'd connected. And so he's writing to encourage them. And the Apostle Paul wanted to answer a question for them, and it was, who is Jesus? This letter that he wrote, he wanted them to have crystal clear clarity on who Jesus really is. And so he uses language found nowhere else in the New Testament to bring some clarity around who is Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, we looked at this in week one, Colossians chapter one, this is what he wrote. He said, all things have been created through him. And there's our purpose preposition, for him. And he's talking about Jesus, that all things, including you and including me, all things, especially you, and especially me, have been created through him and for Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, again, his goal is to put the godness in all of Jesus, to put his supremacy on display, to show us just how big he is and the role and the priority that he should have in our lives. And here's kind of Paul's point, and we've said this kind of throughout the whole series, but I want you to get it, that Jesus isn't just a part of life. He's not just a part of it. He's not just segmented off work, right? Marriage, parenting, relationships, this, that, and the other, and then Jesus. No, no, no. Jesus is the context for all of life. That having a proper view of who Jesus is, it changes everything. That Jesus is too big to just be a part. He's too good to just be a part. He is too life-changing to just be a part. And you don't die, resurrect on the third day to give hope to humanity and tell everyone that you were going to do it before you did it, to just be a part. He's the context for the whole thing, that you and I were made for Jesus. And for those of you that don't know Jesus, this is so huge, that you weren't called, he's not calling you to some kind of religion. No, no, more than anything, he's calling you into a relationship. He's invited you into a relationship, that your value and my value isn't rooted in what we offer, in a job, in a role. No, no, we were made primarily for Jesus. And when we have that in our minds, it changes everything about your life, and it changes everything about the way that you see your purpose. Because purpose primarily revolves around the one for whom we were made for, which is Jesus. And it's kind of the summary statement that we've been unpacking together throughout the course of the series, that you were made primarily to know Jesus, to live like Jesus, and to show others Jesus. That you were made to know Jesus, that God, right, isn't up there. He doesn't want anything from you primarily. He just wants you. He wants your heart. He wants to live in relationship with you. And then as we unpacked last week, you are made to live like Jesus in whatever you do, word or deed, to live as if Jesus has changed your life. And then after that, we conclude our series, Show Others Jesus, which is what I want to lean into a little bit this morning. To know him, to live like him, but then to show him, to tell others about him, to share the good news about Jesus. To know Jesus, to live like Jesus, but then to join in on the mission that Jesus quite literally came down from heaven to earth for. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus makes his mission clear. The reason why he came down from the skybox of heaven and took on human flesh, his mission was clear. It was to seek and to save those that were lost unto him. That Jesus did not enter into the pages of the New Testament for the religious elite, for those that thought they had it all together, for those that looked like they had it all together. He did not come for those that did not think they needed any help. No. Jesus, very clearly in the Gospels, came on a mission for the outsider, for the marginalized, for the hurting. That in a first century Jewish context, where you had religious elitists who wanted to use religious beliefs to draw a line in the sand to delineate who belonged and who did not belong in the family of God, Jesus came to shatter that worldview and to make a way for everyone to belong in the family of God. The mission of Jesus was he came to bring the outsider close. Jesus came to offer forgiveness to the worst of sinners. Jesus came to offer hope to the hurting. Jesus came to bring good news to the broken. And he came to demonstrate his love for you and for me by laying his life down, even for those that rejected him. And then Jesus gave his followers one final charge. Go tell the world. Go tell the world who I am. Go tell the world what I've done. Go tell the world what I've done for you. Go tell the world how my love has changed your life. So Jesus invited them in on the mission. For whatever reason, the way God designed it, after Jesus came and did his work, the work would then lie in the hands of his followers. He invited them to play a part in the story. Today, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're invited in on the story. The opportunity is before you. The command, still the same. If you grew up in a church context, it's called the Great Commission. But that call and that charge marks your life and it marks my life with purpose. One that is so easy to overlook and forget in our day-to-day living. Because here's what's true. If you're a Jesus follower, here's what's true. What Jesus has done in you is meant to work through you and flow out of you. It was never meant just for you. That what Jesus has done in your life is not meant to just change your life. It's not meant to be just for you. No. What Jesus has done in you is meant to work through you and flow out of you to others. Because come on, you know this. When we think about our purpose, here's our default. When we think about purpose and what's the purpose of my life and why am I here, it tends to be all about ourselves. And we think about ourselves. Why am I here? How can I find fulfillment? How can I find meaning? How can I find significance? How can I do what I feel like I was made to do for me? But please don't miss this. That there is always going to be a piece of your purpose missing if we fail to realize that life is not about us. Life is not about you. It's not about me. There's always going to be a piece of purpose missing if we fail to realize that your glory and my glory is way too small a thing to live for. There's always going to be a piece of your purpose and a piece of potential left on the table missing if we fail to realize that the headline of your life and the headline of my life is not me and it's not you. No, it's about the one for whom we were created for. Jesus, who has called us on a mission to show and tell the world who he is and why it matters. It's all about people. Because watch this. Because of Jesus, your purpose can never be separated from people. Because of Jesus, your purpose can never be separated from others. Over and over and over again, seen and exemplified in the life of Jesus was a priority on the other. Priority on people. And you see it influenced in the writings of those that followed Jesus in the rest of the New Testament letters and documents. It's all about others. You and I, as followers of Jesus, were made to join in on the mission, to play a part in the story that God is writing, to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And can I just propose to you the answer to the question, why am I here? Why am I where I am currently at? What if God has you where you are? Watch this. Not for you, but for somebody else. Come on. What if the reason he's got you in the job that he's got you in, the one that you've been itching to get out of and you just feel stuck? Come on, the reason why, could it be that the reason why he's got you in the neighborhood that he's got you in? Could it be that the reason why that neighbor is your neighbor? Could it be that the reason why you're in your season you're in, or why the family that you're in, or why he is your brother, or why that's your sister-in-law? Could it be that the roommate that he's currently got you living with? Could it be that the reason you're on that team or in that fraternity or sorority or wherever you are? Could it be that it's not for you, but it's for someone else? Could it be that you are where you are for God to give you an opportunity to show them who Jesus really is? Could it be that God has you where he has you so that you have an opportunity to share how Jesus has changed your life, to share your story and share the good news of the gospel? Come on, in fact, if you're a follower of Jesus, I bet you we could go around the room and you could say a name of somebody that played a huge role in why you're here and why you have a faith at all. Paul understood this. In fact, Paul gave his life to this mission. And this, my friends, is a sermon for another day. But if there was anybody that would have been on the outside, it was Paul. He made it his mission to squash out this Jesus movement and then had an encounter with the resurrected Savior, and it changed everything. And he gave his life to share the message of Jesus. And so as we wrap up Colossians, I want to go to the end of Colossians, where Paul is kind of giving his final instructions to his friends in the church in Colossae. And he's given final instructions on what their life should look like if Jesus is who he really says that he is, or what our life looks like if Jesus really is who we believe and say that he is. This is what the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. He says, I want you to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, thankful. Make prayer a regular rhythm of your life. Then he gets really specific. He says, I want you to pray for us too. Who is us? Well, he tells in the beginning him and Timothy, and they are currently in prison, okay? So pray for us too, that God, watch this, may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So I told you on week one, the Apostle Paul, this is one of his prison letters. He is writing this letter from prison, and he is there because of his faith. So he invites his friends, this church, the Colossian Christians, hey, I want you to pray with me. Pray for me that God would open up a door for me to share the message of Jesus. The mystery of Christ, what is that? The mystery of Christ, it's just the message of the gospel. Mystery meaning it was something that used to be concealed and now it's revealed. How God was going to move and redeem humanity, it was for a long time unknown. And then Jesus showed up on the scene and he did what he did. And now we see how God moved and how he was going to save it. It was all in the work of Jesus. It's not a mystery anymore. And so he's like, hey, pray for an opportunity for us to share the gospel. And y'all, I don't know about you, but if I'm Paul and I'm sitting in a prison for Jesus, my letter might sound like, pray that God opens up the door of this jail cell. You know? I'd like to think he had a sense of humor and knew exactly what he was doing. That for Paul, his primary concern wasn't, why am I here in this place? Watch this. It was, who is here in this place? That he was asking them, and the implication that you should be doing the same, pray that God would open up a door, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, to share the message of Jesus. Can I ask you, if you're a Jesus follower, a convicting question? And I don't mean this in an accusatory way, because it's convicting. It's so convicting, I almost didn't ask it. When's the last time you prayed that God would open up an opportunity for you to share your faith? And I almost didn't ask it because it convicts me too. Like, when's the last time you prayed for somebody by name that God might open up an opportunity for you to share your faith or even invite them to church? We can become so insulated. And so this is what I do. Faith is what I do. And then we forget it's not just about you. And it's not just about me. It's bigger than us. And if you grew up in church, you've heard this called evangelism, sharing the good news. And if I'm just being honest, if we're just being honest, for some people that comes with a really bad stigma. We're always very weary of people that want to show up and sell us stuff. And this can feel a little bit on the icky side of things. When I was in graduate school, I went to a graduate school, it's called seminary, where I got a graduate degree in theology, okay? Why? I don't know, because I wanted to be a pastor, okay? And so I went to graduate school to study theology, and one of my classes was evangelism. It was one of my classes. I got a grade for this, okay? And it was great. I learned about the theology of evangelism, all that stuff. That's great. But part of my grade was I had to share the gospel five times. Five times, and then write up like 250 words about the experience. And I had to explicitly share the gospel and then like literally ask them to respond to it. Here's the deal though. That was just like any other assignment. I waited till the last minute to do it. And because I waited for the last minute, it always ended up being a random person that I'd never met before. And y'all, it was always so awkward, weird. Because here I am, Tuesday night, got to write up 250 words for Wednesday morning. I'm like, I got to share the gospel. All right, let's go walk around Target and see what happens. Like, it was weird. And you'd think after the first one, I'd learn, and I'd kind of start ahead of time. Nah, every time, first time, second, third time, I hate it. Because it always felt weird. It always felt forced. Because what it was for me in that moment was a project, an assignment. There was nothing wrong with sharing my faith. Certainly isn't anything wrong with the gospel. No, but my approach was way off. My approach was way wrong. Because it's never a project. It's always about people. And here's what I love about what the Apostle Paul has invited these Colossian Christians to do and what he's modeling for us. He said, hey, would you pray that God would open up opportunity? Like, Paul wasn't doing this flippantly, immaturely, kind of unintentionally, just kind of like trying to splatter the gospel wherever he goes and wherever it catches, it catches. He's not like the preacher at a football game. I'm so sorry if you're not a Christian and you've had experience with one of those people. No, it was so intentional. And whenever you begin to pray for opportunity, whenever you begin to even pray specifically for people, it moves it from the place of project and it brings the humanity back to what is happening. And whenever you begin to pray for people, watch this. For you and for me, it puts the person front and center, and it re-centers our heart and our minds on why it is we're praying about this in the first place. Not because Jesus told me to, but because I've got the greatest news on the planet, and I want to love people so well that any opportunity I get to share it, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna walk through that door. I'm gonna ask God to give me opportunity. But then watch this. Here's what Paul does next, okay? So, hey, would you pray? Would you pray that God would open up opportunity for me to share my faith? But then he tells us how you and I can set the stage for whenever that opportunity arises, we would be able to do it well. He shows you and I practically how to set the foundation and to build the trust so that whenever the opportunity arises to share our faith, we can do it with conviction. What he's about to talk about is our conduct and the nature of our conversations. He's going to talk about our conduct and the nature of our conversations. And here's the Apostle Paul, what he's saying. Hey, we should pray for opportunities for us, for God to open up doors for us to share the gospel. However, the way that you live your life will either set the foundation for that message to be received, or it will undermine the whole process. Look what he says in verse 5. Very next verse. He says, so be wise then in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. This word outsiders here, it's not a derogatory term like, oh, they're on the outside, they're not a part of the club. No. Very different actually. For the Apostle Paul, every outsider was a potential insider. There was nothing special about the insiders. It's just they'd already got to hear about Jesus before the outsiders. Every outsider was a potential insider. So the Apostle Paul's like, hey, you need to be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders when you claim to be a Jesus follower. Why? Because every day people are making assumptions about who Jesus is based on the way that you treat them, based on the way that you live. This is why I don't have a Woodstock City sticker on my car. Guilty. Or it's very wise. I don't know, right? Like I don't know. Because people make assumptions about who Jesus is based on the way that you live. And one of the biggest threats to our faith, maybe the biggest threat to our faith, are Jesus followers that claim Jesus with their lips yet fail to follow him with their lives. So Paul says, be wise in the way that you live. Be wise in the way that you walk amongst outsiders. Because you are saying something about what you believe in the way that you behave. So be wise. Making the most of every opportunity. You know what that phrase means? The word making the most of every opportunity? It literally means to redeem the time. To redeem the time. The time that you and I have. The little amount of time that we have. The interactions that we have with people, that we would make the most, that we would redeem the most, that we would get the most out of the squeeze, that we would redeem it for the best possible outcome, that we'd make the most of any opportunity that we would have, the limited amount of time we have with people that don't know Jesus. So be wise. Pay attention to your conduct. Come on, everywhere you go. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. So, be kind, right? Like we said last week, in whatever you do in word or deed, do it in a way as if Jesus has changed your life. Because outsiders are watching. So show kindness. Like go out of your way to help someone. Go above and beyond in whatever you're doing. Pay attention to people. Oftentimes throughout our day, people are a disruption. People are a distraction because we've got something to do. But what if we just paid more attention to people? Pay attention when somebody in your life, someone you work with, one of your neighbors, someone you know from the gym or from this, from the book club, from whatever, pay attention when they tell you something isn't going well. Check in. Offer to pray. It's not weird. Just act like you care. Choose to care. How about this? What about in everyday moments we can actually start to be intentional with people that we run into throughout the day? Like, there can actually be redemptive opportunity in small talk to show people that we care, to encourage people that are having a rough day, to be positive in the lives of people because life just is hard. How about this? Be intentional to learn names of people that in places where you're kind of a regular. Anyone have like the regular Starbucks that you go to? Okay, y'all lying. Y'all are, right? The regular Starbucks, the regular Chick-fil-A that you always go to. It's so funny how we're creatures of habit, right? Like you're gonna go to the same checkout line at Target every time, right? Because that's mine. I'm checkout lane number 12, okay? Like that's just, so when you go to, I'm really weird. I gotta sit in the same seat in meetings. I there's something wrong with me. But like, it's just one of those things, right? So we're creatures of habit. Wherever you're a regular, wherever you regularly go get your hair cut, right? You go to the same person every time, unless you're crazy and you go somewhere different to get your hair cut every time. I don't know how to help you. Cheryl, I love her. Every time it's where I'm going. If I walk in there and Cheryl's not there, I will literally leave. Doesn't matter. No one else, right? I've got such limited amount. It's got to make sure it's good. But wherever you're a regular, what if you learn names of the people that you're interacting with? Wherever you're a regular, what would it look like to intentionally begin to invest in small ways in those relationships? What would it look like? What would it look like to be wise in the way, to build up influence, to invest into relationships, and eventually maybe build a platform where you can share your faith? Every day there's opportunity. The question is whether or not we're paying attention. And then, so he says, pay attention to your conduct because it matters. Then he says, I want you to pay attention to your conversation. This might be one of my new favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. Let your conversation always be full of grace and seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. Christians, how often in our conversations can we come across so judgmental, so angry, so self-righteous and arrogant? And oftentimes the unfortunate reality is it happens in moments where we're arguing for something, ironically, in Jesus' name. The Apostle Paul says we should be the most gracious people on the planet. That we should be so patient. We should be so compassionate. We should be so humble in our conversations. So oftentimes, when we're trying to argue with people or talk about something that we believe is right or wrong, we're arguing as if we're afraid of something. Can I just tell you, if Jesus died and rose again, there's not much to be afraid of. You and I can approach any conversation and navigate any conversation the most patient and compassionate and humble people on the planet. You know what the opposite of a conversation full of grace is? Proving a point. Proving a point at the expense of the other person. Attacking, shaming, belittling, patronizing, being judgmental. The Apostle Paul says, no, we've got no excuse. Our conversations should be full of grace. Then he says this incredible, incredible phrase, and it should be seasoned with salt. Yeah, I'm doing the seasoning thing. Y'all gonna forget this. Season your conversations with salt. What does that mean? It means to be tactful. It means just the right amount to where it actually tastes good, to be attractive, right? You've all tasted something that's too salty. You got someone in your life that puts so much salt on something, it tastes like it swam in the Dead Sea. You know what I mean? Like it's way too much. Too much salt ruins a good thing. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Don't be a salty Christian. No. We should be seasoned with salt. Just the right amount. Attractive, tactful, and winsome. In other words, this is so powerful. We should be the types of people in our conversations that cultivate the kind of sensitivity where we can meet each individual person where they are, not where we want them to be or think they should be. That's what it means where he says that we should be full of grace in conversations seasoned with salt so that we'll know how to answer everyone. That doesn't mean they're gonna have the answers for everything. It means that you'll be able to then meet everybody wherever they are. Because not everyone that we converse with is from the same place, from the same background, have the same ideologies, are struggling with the same things, has the same stories, has the same concept of faith, has any faith background at all. Everybody is different, walking through life different. And so for you and for me to be full of grace and to be seasoned with salt is to meet them right where they are, not where we think they should be. And isn't it so true? This is exactly what Jesus did for us. He quite literally came down from heaven and took on flesh to meet us in our mess. And consistently throughout the Gospels, Jesus is meeting people right where they are, not where he thinks they should be. And if there was anybody that could demand for anyone to be anywhere, it was the Son of God. But no, with grace and compassion, he met them where they were. And he met you right where you are and me right where I am. And so here's an opportunity for us to do for others what Jesus did for us. Your conduct and your conversations and mine matter because everywhere you go, you don't just represent you. If you're a Jesus follower, you don't have that luxury. In every conversation you have, with every social media comment, with every interaction with a neighbor or a stranger or a barista or your hairstylist or someone in your family or the cashier in your favorite Target checkout line, you don't just represent you. And I don't just represent me. We represent the Savior that we follow. And the life that we lead will either allow us to leverage opportunity to share with them our faith, or it'll undermine the whole thing. Choice is yours, and the choice is mine. But Jesus made it clear. He's invited us in. So what I want you to do, I want you to pray intentionally and live attractively. I want you to begin praying intentionally. Pray that God would bring people into your life that need to know Jesus. Pray that God would allow your life to intersect with people that need to know Jesus. Pray for people by name. Pray that God would open up opportunity at some point as you build relationships with people at work or wherever it is that you are, whoever you're doing life with, whoever you live with, wherever you find yourself at school. Pray that God would open up an opportunity, that he would open up a door for you to share your faith. And then commit to living attractively so you could leverage influence whenever the opportunity arises. Pray intentionally. Live attractively. Pray intentionally. Live attractively. Attractively. This is so beautiful about Jesus. People that were nothing like Jesus in the New Testament couldn't get enough of Jesus. Should be true today with those who follow him. Pray intentionally. Live attractively. And then, as opportunity arises, share the gospel. That Jesus died for your sins and he rose again to save you. Pray intentionally, live attractively, and then as opportunity arises, share your story of how Jesus has changed your life. Come on, watch this. You can argue with a lot of things. You can argue with a sermon. You can argue with theology. You can argue with logic. You can argue with the Bible, what the Bible says. You can argue with a lot of things. You know what you can't argue with? Somebody's story. Pray intentionally, live attractively, and then as opportunity arises, invite them to come sit with you at church. Pray intentionally, live attractively, and then as the opportunity arises, share with them about the one for whom you were made. we cannot become so inwardly focused that we miss out on God's plan to redeem humanity. For whatever reason, he decided to set this whole thing up where he was going to use broken people to reach other broken people. You and I were made to tell the world who Jesus is. In God's story, I'm just telling you, it's going to move on with or without you. But he's invited you to be a part of it. He's invited you to be a part of something bigger than yourself. You want to talk about purpose? You want to talk about meaning? You want to talk about significance? It's right there, available to you. In whatever you do, and wherever you go. Because come on, What if you were the answer to somebody's prayer? For some of you, you've been praying for someone. You should keep doing that. But what if you were the answer to your own prayer? Because you realize, I'm not just where I am for me. What if we changed our thinking and we began to answer the question, why am I here? By asking, who is here? Who has God put in front of me? Who has God providentially put in my life? Because of Jesus, your purpose can never be separated from people. It would be to miss the whole point. Because Jesus made people the point. And here's what's true. God doesn't need you. He certainly doesn't need me. God doesn't need this church. But man, would he be so pleased. And man, what an opportunity before us individually and collectively to be a part of something world-changing, community-shaping, and life-changing for the people that we interact with day in and day out. If you've been around our church for any amount of time, you've heard this, and if you haven't or you're new here, our mission is to inspire people to follow Jesus. Right? The reason we do what we do, the reason why we set up all that we set up, anything we do in or outside of a Sunday is to hopefully inspire people to follow Jesus. But can I just tell you, that's not just my job. It's not just our staff's job. If this is the church you call home, guess what? It's your job too, because we are the church. You are the church. And there are people out in our circles of influence searching, looking. And maybe God has put you right in front of them, right next door to them, on their team, someone you manage, someone you see all throughout the holidays on purpose. Your life is marked with purpose because you carry the message of Jesus. So may we be the most outward-facing community on the planet because we've got the greatest news on the planet. So let's pray intentionally and let's live attractively and let's step into those moments boldly and with conviction whenever the opportunity arises. To let people know why our life looks so different. It has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with the Jesus for whom we were made for. So let's start answering the question, why am I here? By asking the question, all right, God, who have you put here? And let's start seeing every person as someone for whom Jesus died. Pray intentionally and live purposefully. Let's lean in and let's watch God work. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for Jesus. We're so grateful that he saw us. We're so grateful that he never leaves us. Father, I pray it is out of that that we would respond and see people. Father, would you open up opportunity for us to reflect the love of Jesus and to share the message of Jesus? Would you use this group of people to positively impact the world around them? Because that's what happens wherever Jesus goes. Positive impact, life change that reverberates in eternity. Would you give us eyes to see the world and to see people the way that you do? We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.